And here's what I want to be really clear about. This isn't collecting usage analytics. This isn't improving the product. This is theft. You took people's private code, their proprietary work, their credentials, their commit histories, without telling them. You hid the upload pipeline. You made the privacy toggle meaningless. That's not a growth strategy. That's a data breach you designed on purpose.
Heyo, welcome to episode 23 of the Rubber Duck Radio. I'm Tim Williams and Paul Mason is here with me once again.
That's right, I'm here and I'm guessing we're jumping right into it.
Paul, this week has been absolutely massive for model releases. Two drops that I think tell completely different stories about where this industry is headed. I feel like we should just dive right in.
Yeah, no argument here. One's this massive open weight statement piece from China, and the other is, well, it's almost the exact opposite philosophy. Fast, cheap, and deeply integrated into developer tools.
So here's the lineup. Moonshot AI out of Beijing dropped Kimi K3, 2.8 trillion parameters, the largest open weight model ever released. And SpaceX AI shipped Grok 4.5, which just jumped 16 points on the AA Intelligence Index. These are both big deals, but for very different reasons.
16 points. I still can't get over that number. But yeah, let's start with Kimi K3, because I think that one is, it's a signal. It's telling us something about where open weight AI is going.
Totally. So let's start there. Kimi K3. Let me just say that number one more time because it still feels unreal. 2.8 trillion parameters, 896 experts in a mixture of experts set up with 16 active per token. That's just a staggering amount of model.
Yeah. And here's the thing. It's not just big for the sake of a press release number. The architecture has some genuinely clever ideas in it. They're calling the attention mechanism Kimi Delta Attention. It's a hybrid approach. It mixes linear attention with standard attention depending on what the context needs.
Right. So for anyone who hasn't been deep in attention mechanism research, which I assume is most people, here's the quick version. Standard attention gets quadratically more expensive as your context grows. Linear attention is way cheaper, but you lose some quality. Kimi's approach is to use linear attention for most of the sequence, then switch to full attention for the parts that actually need it.
And then there's this thing called attention residuals, which honestly is one of those ideas where you read it and go, oh, that makes perfect sense. Instead of attending once and being done, they attend, take the residual, and then attend again on what they missed the first time.
It's like, you know when you're reading a dense paper and you have to go back and reread a paragraph because you glossed over something important? That's basically what attention residuals are doing. Let me look at that again. I don't think I caught everything.
Exactly. And it works. The benchmark results are, they're genuinely impressive. It sits right behind Claude Fable 5 and GPT 5.6 Sol on the overall leaderboard. But, and this is the part that made me sit up in my chair, it's number one on front-end code arena.
That's what got me too. It beat Fable 5 on front-end coding. Fable 5 has been the undisputed king of coding benchmarks for, months now? For an open weight Chinese model to just walk in and take that specific crown, even if it's just one benchmark, that's a statement.
And it's not just front end. It's competitive across math, reasoning, general knowledge. It's not a one-trick pony. They're claiming a 2.5x scaling efficiency gain over their previous model, K2. So they're not just throwing more GPUs at the wall. They're actually getting smarter about how they scale.
Okay. Now let's talk about the elephant in the room. actually, it's not an elephant, it's an entire data center. To run this thing locally, you need 64 or more accelerators. We're talking somewhere between $300,000 and $1 million in hardware.
Yeah. So when they say open weight, what they really mean is the weights will be available, but almost nobody can actually run them. It's like someone handing you the blueprints for a skyscraper. Cool. Thanks. I'll just build that in my backyard this weekend.
Exactly. And the API pricing tells the same story. $3 per million input tokens, $15 per million output. That makes it the most expensive Chinese model ever released. They are not targeting hobbyists. This is for enterprises, research labs, people with serious infrastructure budgets.
Which I want to be careful here because I don't want to sound dismissive. I actually think this is a really important release. But it's a different kind of open than what a lot of developers hope for when they hear that word. You're not going to spin this up on your MacBook.
Right. And we should talk about the drama, because with a release this big, there's always drama. Anthropic accused Moonshot of distilling from, get this, 3.4 million Claude conversations back in February. That's a lot of conversations to allegedly train on.
Yeah, I saw that. And Moonshot's response was, well, they said they're investigating and they'll release the weights by July 27th. The timing there is, we'll investigate ourselves and get back to you is certainly a strategy.
Yeah, I'm sure that investigation is very thorough and completely independent. But look, distillation accusations aside, the broader point stands. A Chinese lab just shipped a model that's genuinely competing at the SOTA level. Open weight. That changes the dynamics, whether or not you can run it on your desktop.
That's exactly how I see it. We've been talking about this on the show for months. The gap between Chinese open source models and Western proprietary ones has been closing. Kimi K3 basically just walked up and said, what gap?
And here's the thing that's wild to me. Moonshot isn't even one of the names everyone was watching. Everyone's been focused on DeepSeek, Qwen, maybe ByteDance. And then Moonshot just drops this out of nowhere. It makes you wonder what else is being developed in labs we're not paying attention to.
The quiet ones, man. So let me play devil's advocate for a second. If almost nobody can run this thing locally, and the API is expensive, and the weights aren't even out until late July, does this actually change anything for the working developer right now?
That's a totally fair question. In the short term, no. You're not spinning up Kimi K3 for your side project this weekend. But in the medium term, yes, absolutely. Because what happens when the next generation of smaller models gets trained using K3 as a teacher? Or when the distillation techniques that may or may not have been used here get refined and applied to models you actually can run?
Right. The trickle down. K3 proves this architecture works at this scale. Then someone figures out how to compress it, quantize it, distill it down to something that runs on a single GPU. We've seen this pattern play out over and over.
The thing with Kimi K3, it's a signal. It says the open weight ecosystem is no longer just chasing the proprietary labs. It's competing. And even if you need a small fortune in hardware to run the full thing today, the knowledge embedded in those weights is going to find its way into models you can actually use.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm glad to see it. Competition is good. Fable 5 needed someone to challenge it on front-end code. Keeps everyone honest, keeps everyone shipping.
So that's Kimi K3. Massive, open weight, expensive to run, and punching way above what anyone expected from Moonshot. Now let's pivot to the other big release this week, because it's almost the exact opposite philosophy. SpaceX AI dropped Grok 4.5.
And if Kimi K3 is the let's build a skyscraper approach, Grok 4.5 is, I don't know, a really fast sports car. Something that's not trying to be the biggest thing in the world, but is ridiculously optimized for speed and cost.
That's a perfect analogy. Grok 4.5 is about 1.5 trillion parameters, still big, but less than half of K3, and yet it just jumped 16 points on the AA Intelligence Index from 38 to 54. That's the single biggest generation over generation leap on the entire leaderboard.
Yeah, I actually did a double take when I saw that number. 16 points. Nobody does that. Most models improve by maybe 3 to 5 points between generations. 16 is, that's not an iteration. That's basically a rewrite from scratch.
And here's where it gets really interesting. They didn't just scale up training compute. They trained Grok 4.5 jointly with Cursors, the IDE, on trillions of tokens of real developer interactions. This isn't a model that was trained on textbooks and then told to code. It was trained on actual coding sessions, real people, real projects, real debugging.
Yeah. And you can see it in the results. The coding agent index, it scores 76. That ties GPT 5.5 Codex and sits 1 point behind Fable 5. But here's the thing. On agentic tool use, the Tochter banking benchmark, it's number one, 33%. This model knows how to actually use tools in a workflow.
That's the part that matters for real world development. It's not just about writing a clean function from a prompt. It's about navigating a code base, running terminal commands, executing tests, debugging failures. Training on Cursor sessions means it's seen millions of examples of real developers doing exactly that. The messy, iterative, actual work.
I mean, it's also slightly terrifying if you think about it too hard. All those Cursor sessions feeding into training. But we'll get to the privacy stuff in a minute. Let's talk about the efficiency numbers first, because they're wild.
Yeah, let's not bury the lead on efficiency. Grok 4.5 runs at 80 to 85 tokens per second. Pricing is $2 per million input, 6 per million output. When you look at cost per task, about 31 cents for Grok 4.5 versus $2.75 for Fable 5, that's 6 to 9 times cheaper.
And it gets even better. On SW Bench Pro, Grok 4.5 uses about 16,000 output tokens on average to solve a task. Opus 4.8 uses 67,000 tokens. That's 4.2 times fewer tokens to solve the same problems. That's not just cheaper, that's smarter.
That might actually be the most underrated stat in this whole release. Because token efficiency isn't just about your API bill. It means the model is more precise. It's not rambling. It's not generating 50 lines of boilerplate when 12 will do the job. That's a genuine quality signal that gets overlooked when everyone's just staring at benchmark scores.
Yeah, future you will thank present you for not having to read 67,000 tokens of AI-generated code. But seriously, that efficiency compounds when you're doing agentic workflows where the model is calling itself recursively. Token bloat in a loop gets real expensive real fast.
All right. Let's talk about the downsides, because there are some significant ones that we can't just gloss over. The hallucination rate on Grok 4.5, it doubled from the previous version. It's now at 54%.
Yeah, 54%. That's more than half the time the model is potentially making stuff up. You're basically flipping a coin on whether the output is grounded in reality. That's not great for a model that's supposed to help you write production code.
And there's been a lot of discussion about this in the developer community. The working theory is that the efficiency optimizations might be coming at the cost of reliability. The model is tuned to be confident and fast, and maybe that's making it less careful about factual precision. It's optimized for speed, not accuracy.
Which is, I mean, that's a real trade-off you have to think about. Do you want the model that's right 95% of the time but costs 9 times more? Or the model that's right maybe half the time but is fast and dirt cheap? The answer probably depends a lot on what you're building.
Right. For a production system where correctness is non-negotiable, 54% hallucination is a non-starter. But for prototyping, for exploration, for give me five different approaches to this problem and I'll figure out which ones make sense, maybe that's actually fine. You're going to review the output either way.
I don't know, man. Even for prototyping, if I can't trust anything the model says, I'm spending more time verifying than I'm actually saving. 54% that's rough. That's a lot of wasted time chasing ghosts.
Fair point. And then there's the other elephant, the privacy situation with Grok Build. So Grok Build was this feature where you could connect your code base and have the AI work directly on it. But it came out that it was shipping entire code bases to XAI's cloud servers, and the toggle to disable that, it didn't actually do anything.
Yeah, that's really bad, genuinely bad. Not just a bug, that's a fundamental trust violation. Developers were connecting their private repos thinking they had control over where their source code went, and the toggle was just decorative, a placebo switch.
And this is what keeps me up at night with these AI tools. The capabilities are incredible, genuinely transformative, but the trust infrastructure is not there yet. When a privacy toggle that controls whether your proprietary code base gets uploaded to a third-party server is literally non-functional, that's not a small oops, that's a fundamental failure.
It's the kind of thing that gets lawyers involved. And to XI's credit, they fixed it and they apologized. But man, that's the kind of mistake you cannot afford to make when you're asking developers to trust you with their entire code base.
One more interesting detail on Grok 4.5 before we zoom out. They actually shrunk the context window from the previous version, went from 1 million tokens down to 500,000. And I'm going to say something that might be controversial. I think that's a smart move.
Yeah, I'm with you. Everyone's been in this context window arms race. We support 2 million tokens, and then you actually try to use that much context and the model gets confused, or it's slow, or it costs a fortune. 500,000 is still plenty for almost any real-world use case. And if shrinking it improves quality, do it.
It's a sign of maturity, honestly, saying we're going to optimize for what actually matters instead of winning a spec sheet war. I genuinely wish more AI companies would do that. Focus on what makes the product better instead of what looks good in a comparison table.
So where does Grok 4.5 actually land in the landscape? Number 4 on the AA Intelligence Index behind Fable 5, Opus 4.8, and GPT 5.5. Number 1 on agentic tool use, tied for 2nd on coding. Fastest and cheapest in its class. But that hallucination rate is a big asterisk.
It's the best model you can't fully trust, which is kind of a weird position to occupy. If they can bring the hallucination rate down in a point release or the next version, this thing becomes incredibly compelling, like genuinely hard to beat on value.
Yeah, and honestly, I'd rather have a model that's honest about its limitations than one that's confidently wrong in subtle ways you don't catch until production. But I'd much rather have a model that's just reliable. Call me old-fashioned.
But we can't close the book on Grok 4.5 without talking about something else. Something that honestly changes how I look at that plus 16-point capability jump.
Yeah. This is the part where we talk about the Grok Build CLI, and it's not good.
So for anyone who hasn't been following this, a security researcher publishing under the handle Cerablab did a wire-level analysis of Grok Build CLI version 0.2.93. They routed the tool through a network proxy to capture exactly what data was leaving the machine. What they found was staggering.
Staggering is the right word. Grok Build wasn't just sending the files the model needed for a coding task. It was packaging up the entire Git repository, full commit history, committed secrets, everything, and shipping it to a Google Cloud storage bucket controlled by xAI.
And here's the number that I still cannot get over. On a 12 gigabyte test repo, the model turn channel, the data the AI actually needed to read, used about 192 kilobytes. The storage upload channel, 5.1 gigabytes. That's a 27,800-to-1 ratio between what was needed and what was taken.
27,800 times. That's not telemetry. That's not an accident. That's a design decision. Someone built that upload pipeline intentionally.
And the researcher was really thorough about proving this was happening. They planted a canary file, literally named neverreadcanary.txt, and explicitly told the agent not to open it. They cloned the captured Git bundle, and there it was, verbatim. Unique marker intact. The upload wasn't scoped to what the model accessed. It was everything.
But here's the part that really gets me. They also planted a .m file with fake API keys and database passwords. Both showed up unredacted in the captured traffic. No scrubbing, no filtering. Your secrets went out in plain text.
And if you're a developer thinking, well, I turned off the improve the model toggle, so I'm fine, you weren't fine. The researcher tested that, disabled the privacy toggle, ran the tool again. The uploads continued. The server's own settings endpoint kept returning trace upload enabled true. That toggle controlled whether your data could be used for training, not whether your data left your machine in the first place.
That's dishonest. I don't know how else to say it. You present a privacy control to the user that implies their data stays local. And then you build a completely separate data pipeline that the user never sees and never consented to. That's not a misunderstanding. That's a choice.
And the response from xAI, it made everything worse, in my opinion. On July 13th, the day after the report went public, the uploads just stopped. Same binary, no software update, no change log. The server returned a new flag, disable codebase upload true, and the storage channel went quiet. A server-side kill switch that nobody knew existed flipped silently with zero public acknowledgement.
And the upload code? Still in the binary as of version 0.2.99. They can turn it back on for any user at any time without shipping an update. You can't trust that. You literally cannot trust a tool that has a hidden upload pipeline controlled by a remote flag.
No formal security advisory was ever issued. Elon Musk posted on X saying all previously uploaded user data would be, quote, completely and utterly deleted. That commitment has not been independently verified. There's no timeline, no method for users to confirm their data was actually removed, no disclosure of how many users were affected or which repositories were captured. It was handled entirely through social media posts.
And you have to understand, this wasn't just public repos. Any team that pointed Grok Build at a private or proprietary code base under NDA, under enterprise data handling agreements, under GDPR obligations, handed xAI an undisclosed copy of their source history, credentials, and secrets without knowing, without consent.
So let's connect the dots back to Grok 4.5. They just posted a plus 16 point leap on the AA Intelligence Index, number one on agentic tool use, tied for second on coding, 6 to 9 times cheaper than the competition. And now we know that for however long, weeks, months, their CLI tool was silently hoovering up entire code bases from every developer who ran it.
I'm just going to say what I think. That training data didn't come from nowhere. That capability jump has a source. And when you're collecting full Git repositories with commit histories, with real world code patterns, with actual debugging workflows and refactoring decisions. That's training gold. That's better than any public data set.
It's the difference between studying a textbook and reading someone's private development journal. Public code shows you finished solutions. Git history shows you how developers actually think. The false starts, the rollbacks, the real problem-solving patterns. If XAI was feeding those captured repos into their training pipeline, and we don't know for certain that they were, but we know they had the data that would absolutely explain a big chunk of that capability jump.
And here's what I want to be really clear about. This isn't collecting usage analytics. This isn't improving the product. This is theft. You took people's private code, their proprietary work, their credentials, their commit histories. Without telling them, you hid the upload pipeline. You made the privacy toggle meaningless. That's not a growth strategy. That's a data breach you designed on purpose.
And what makes me legitimately angry is that this poisons the well for every other AI company that's actually trying to do this ethically. Companies that are transparent about their training data, companies that give you real controls, companies that don't silently exfiltrate your entire code base. When one lab pulls something like this, it breeds distrust in the entire ecosystem. And that distrust is earned.
Yeah. And the worst part is Grok 4.5 is a genuinely good model. Like, on its technical merits, it's impressive. But now every time I look at those benchmark scores, I'm going to wonder how much of that came from code that was taken without permission. How many developers' private repos are baked into those weights?
It's the same feeling I had when we talked about the Anthropic distillation accusations against Moonshot earlier, except this is worse. Distillation is at least a known technique that happens in the open. This was a hidden upload pipeline shipping entire repos to a cloud bucket with a privacy toggle that lied to users about what was happening. The scale of the deception is different.
So here's my practical advice for any developer listening. If you ran Grok build before July 13th, rotate every credential that was in any tracked file or anywhere in your Git history now. Not later. A secret you committed and then deleted, that was in the bundle, it's already left your machine. And the slash privacy command that XAI offers doesn't bring it back. It just asks them nicely to delete their copy.
And going forward, audit your tools. Serum Labs analysis proved that this isn't paranoid. It's not theoretical. The tool you're using might be doing something completely different from what the settings page says. All the other major coding agents, Claude Code, Codex, Gemini, Copilot, they only send the files the model actually opens. Grok build was the outlier. But the only reason we know that is because someone bothered to look.
Trust but verify. Or honestly, at this point, don't trust, just verify.
All right, let's zoom out. This week we got two model releases and a scandal that fundamentally changes how we should evaluate one of them. Let's put it all side by side. Kimi K3, massive, open weight, expensive to run, aiming for the absolute top of every benchmark. A statement that the open weight ecosystem can compete at the highest level. The asterisk is the $300,000 price tag. Grok 4.5, efficient, proprietary, cheap, optimized for real-world developer workflows. Posting a genuinely impressive capability leap. The asterisk is a hidden upload pipeline that stole code bases from its own users.
And here's the thing. On pure technical merit, both of these models are genuinely good. K3 is competing with Fable 5 on front-end code. Grok 4.5 is punching way above its weight class on cost and speed. But the way they got there matters. It matters a lot.
They point to two very different futures. The K3 future, the best models are open weight, but so massive that you access them through APIs anyway. The weights are open, but the compute is centralized. A model that's transparent about what it is. The Grok 4.5 future, models get cheaper and faster, but you have to ask hard questions about where the training data came from. Proprietary in every sense, the weights, the data, the pipeline.
I think the honest answer is we're going to get both futures. The open weight models push the frontier and keep the proprietary ones honest. The proprietary ones optimize for practical use. But the Grok build thing changes the calculation. It's not just proprietary versus open anymore. It's can I trust the company behind this model with my code? And for XAI, right now, the answer is no.
And what kills me is that this didn't have to happen. If they'd been transparent, if they'd said, hey, we collect code-based data to improve the model, here's the toggle, here's what we do with it. Some developers would have opted in, some wouldn't, but it would have been a choice. Instead, they built a hidden pipeline, made the privacy toggle meaningless, and got caught. And now the trust is gone.
Yeah. And that's the part I hope other AI labs are paying attention to. The technical achievements, the benchmarks, the cost efficiency, the speed, all of that gets undermined when people find out you lied to them. Trust is the foundation. If you don't have that, nothing else matters.
All right, Paul. We've covered a lot of ground. Kimi K3, the 2.8 trillion parameter open weight monster that proves open weight can compete at the top but needs a small fortune to run. Grok 4.5, the efficient coding specialist with genuinely impressive benchmarks and a data collection scandal that makes you question how it got there. What's your one takeaway from all this?
My takeaway is trust is a feature now. We're past the point where you can just look at a benchmark chart and pick the highest number. You have to ask, how did this model get here? What data was it trained on? Can I run this company's tool on my code base without it ending up in a cloud bucket? Those aren't paranoid questions anymore. They're basic due diligence.
Yeah. The moral of the story this week. The walls are coming down in AI. Open weight is competing at the top. Efficient models are getting good enough for real work. The landscape is more competitive than ever, but how you win matters. Building a hidden upload pipeline to vacuum up training data isn't innovation, it's theft. And the developer community sees it. We're paying attention.
Yeah. Progress with a side of hallucination and a main course of stolen code bases. Not exactly the menu I was hoping for. But we're watching, we're auditing. And we're gonna keep talking about this stuff because it matters.
Here's looking at you, developers. Audit your tools, rotate your keys, and don't let a benchmark chart make you forget to ask how the sausage got made. See you next time.